This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. If you really look at them, the big picture indicators out there are showing signs of economic life. There are jobs being created. GDP is growing. Consumer confidence is rising. All of them too slowly, to be sure, but the trend is positive. For all of that, though, big chunks of this country are still stuck in the thick of the recession, and you don't have to look all that hard to find those chunks. The city of San Bernardino, California, for one, it's about an hour east of Los Angeles, population 213,000 or so. It's officially bankrupt, and that is just the beginning of its troubles. In the first of a four-part series, David Weinberg has some history and introduces us to the cast of characters.
In 1948, two brothers, Richard and Maurice McDonald, decided to reinvent their family barbecue joint. They came up with a new technique for making French fries that used desert winds to dry potatoes in a shed behind the restaurant. But the most popular item on their new menu was 15-cent hamburgers. The place, which they called McDonald's, was located on E Street, the main drag of San Bernardino, California. They couldn't have picked a better time and place. Several people I talked to who grew up in San Bernardino told me that the movie American Graffiti is a perfect example of what life on E Street was like in the 50s and 60s.
Cruise downtown and catch American Graffiti.
American Graffiti.
Baby, what's that?
It's a movie.
Hot rods cruised the street and people would line up with lawn chairs to watch. It was like a parade every night. Most people in San Bernardino at that time worked at Norton Air Force Base or Kaiser Steel. People were coming to the city in droves on the newly paved Route 66. But the boom didn't last. Both Norton Air Force Base and Kaiser Steel closed, and the city never recovered. Today, more than half of San Bernardino's population receives public assistance. The per capita income is $15,600. Detroit is the only city in the nation that is poorer. The city was on its knees, and the recession dealt the final blow. On August 1st of this year, San Bernardino filed for bankruptcy.
So now here's E Street, the gray commercial street of San Bernardino.
Al Palazzo grew up in San Bernardino, and he took me on a tour of the city.
And that corner I used to work as a teenager. This was the main drag in San Bernardino? This is a slum. Vacant car lots, what? This is not a viable commercial street. What's going to bring it back? Change the housing.
Changing the housing is just one of the ideas. Nearly everyone in San Bernardino has a solution for how to get the city back on its feet. One plan is to use eminent domain to seize foreclosed homes. Another involves apparent takeover of the public schools. One person told me that the city's 200-year-old sewage system should be at the top of the list. Lots of ideas means lots of citizens groups. The Citizens for Accountable City Government wants to cut police and fire pay. Another group, calling itself the San Bernardino City Town Hall, has a different view.
So we'll get this thing started.
I attended the group's most recent meeting at the San Bernardino Elks Lodge, which sits on a hill overlooking the San Bernardino Valley. 63-year-old local business owner Hans Vandertoe was one of the speakers at the event.
Criminals and lowlifes don't like to be bothered. They will leave, trust me.
The mostly white-haired crowd went wild for Vandertoe. One person demanded he run for mayor. Vandertoe believes everything but public safety should be cut. He compared San Bernardino to Rome, a city under siege by barbarians.
The city hall is not anymore in charge of the city. It are the criminals. They are the ones that have been able to chase the working middle class out of the city.
A few days after the San Bernardino City Town Hall meeting, I attended another meeting held by the Concerned Citizens Coalition, which was started by Concepcion Powell, the president and founder of the U.S. Hispanic Women's Grocers Association. She believes that the key to San Bernardino's prosperity is the city's international airport.
They invested over about $228 million with the international airport. And the airport is just sitting there. It looks like it's abandoned.
She wants to transform the empty airport into a global business hub and invite foreign investment into the city. Though these community groups don't always agree on how to save San Bernardino, they do agree on one thing, that the current government is dysfunctional.
Yes, they're just big kids, you know, like first grade, second grade, just get into this kids fight and just get carried away.
Of course, San Bernardino's problems are much more adult. The crime rate is one of the highest in the nation. The education system is a mess. The city's infrastructure is in disarray, and more than a third of the city's residents fall below the poverty line. The biggest question might be, where to begin? I'm David Weinberg for Marketplace.